love ironing. Let's talk about ironing.
Look, that's how it's on. We're started. Oh, so okay. You want to start with ironing? You love ironing. I'm going steaming. I can't iron. No,
but
no.
Then, I raise you a steam iron, like a proper, you know, I have a unit. And the reason I came to this is a fascinating story. I was on Richard Osman's House of Games.
Yes.
And on that show, they have so many outfits.
Yeah.
Five outfits, one for each day.
Yeah.
I went to speak to the wardrobe person because she had to do, with him, it's 25 outfits per show. And she said, this is the iron for you. I forget, it's an Italian iron. And it has a steam unit. And it's, and then I have a whole vat of 25 litres of deionized water.
You're going full iron.
But it's amazing. It just like it glides over and you're done in seconds.
No, but you see,
I've been like Austin Powers in the corridor.
Sorry, I can't. No, you haven't gone to Steam World yet, have you?
What's that?
You just plug in a steamer. It has a bit of water in it. Steams your clothes. Hang it up on a hanger. Done.
Does it work?
Yeah, I took it to House of Games.
You took it with you?
I took it with me. I take it with me everywhere. Okay. Every time I do any TV show, I go, vroom, vroom, vroom. And then you walk in and the stylist, who's ever working on the show, they go, oh, you're nicely ironed. I go, no, steamed.
Steamed. And also kills all the clothes moths.
Let's not talk
about it. They do not bring me joy.
No.
I hate them.
No. I like all animals, apart from clothes moths. And I've got a fantastic jumper that I got in a charity shop. It's neon pink, because I love neon.
Love.
The moths love it too.
Yeah.
I took it to somewhere to get them to do the secret sewing.
Oh, that's good.
No, it's not.
The previous owners of our house went for full wool carpets in about 1990. And then when we moved in, it was just this. It was just, you know, you'd move a bit of furniture, there'd just be a hole in the floor.
Moths.
Horrendous.
I didn't know we were going to start with moths.
I'm sorry that I brought this up.
No, I'm very happy you did. Also, just before we started recording, you did get concerned that you hadn't shaved. And that your mum was going to write into YouTube.
My mum, just when I shaved, she sort of just goes, ah, that's better. I don't know what it is.
It's a sort of, really?
Yeah, but I think it's, I suppose she's quite into ironing as well. Ironing, nicely
shaving.
Turned out.
She likes to shave.
Likes everything, like vacuumed, nice, you know, clean surfaces.
Do you have to take your shoes off at the front door?
Shoes off at the front door. It's all very, you know.
She doesn't have plastic over the sofa.
Oh, God, no. We're not at that level. No. You know, it's a house. It's for living in, but it's tidy. It's tidy. It's organised.
I imagine you like that, though, because you are...
Yeah, I do like tidying.
Immaculate. Actually. Whenever we see you on television, whenever I've interviewed you, you're always immaculate. So I love that you've started with worrying about the shaving and you've talked about ironing. You are, and your hair is always exactly very Gareth Malone hair.
Yeah, I went to the special Gareth Malone shop this morning. No, I just kind of ruffled it, and that's... I like it. I think I like things to look roughly organised, but not like I'm trying too hard.
That's Were you like that as a child?
No, I mean, I was explosively untidy as a teenager.
Oh, really?
But aren't all teenagers?
I think
teenagers
mine, yes.
That are like super, super, super tidy, I sort of worry about. I feel like it's, you know, you should be worrying about other hormonal things.
You have one teenager and one tween age,
just about to hit it with the
Have
boy.
You got the...
Oh, the grunting.
Yeah.
We've got a grunter, yeah. Reachable, but...
Reachable grunty.
Yeah, but grunty.
Do you sing around the house with
all
your
the time.
Kids? Do you? Oh!
All the time.
Can I come and live with
of
you?
Of course, come round. We've got a piano in the kitchen, a guitar in the kitchen at all times. So.
A piano in the kitchen?
Yeah, we've got a piano in the kitchen.
I've never heard... That's the first time in my life I've ever heard of somebody having a piano in the kitchen.
Well, we're quite lucky because we've got this sort of back kitchen space that I suppose at some point somebody must have knocked something through. Well, this back kitchen space, and we've got our next-door neighbours were moving out and they said, oh, do you want this old piano we've got? And it's one of those... Do you know about Danemann pianos?
I'm really sorry, I don't. Okay, but they do. Yeah, Joe and... Yeah, look at them. They right, look... Yeah.
They're like... I guess in the 1970s, Danemann made... school pianos, and any school you went into, you'd find these pianos, and they're kind of workhorse pianos, but they're actually quite nice.
Are they upright?
Upright pianos. Right. No, you can get grands as well, but this is a small upright, but they've just got a nice sound, and you can abuse them for years and years because they're built for schools. So that's the one in the kitchen, and I got it for free.
Oh, how lovely.
It's
what's
not the,
main the morning
thing.
Song then? I mean, do you say good morning? Good, you know, every morning.
There's music practice happens in the morning in our house because that's one of my big learnings from my own childhood, which is when my mum used to try and make me practice after school. But the brain, just by that point in the day, I'd learnt enough, and so I decided I would do it in the morning with the kids, and I've just done that every day for the last how many years? Getting on for 9 years now.
Every day.
Not weekends. We don't. We rest on the Sabbath.
Okay. So when they both play the piano then?
No, string instruments. We've got violin, cello, and
of course
violin.
You have. Yeah. You've got a whole orchestra.
Nearly.
Does your wife play any instruments?
My wife doesn't know, but she sings very beautifully. I mean, that's the first thing you check, isn't it?
Oh yes. Although my husband likes punk and reggae, and I like musical theatre, but hey, it works.
That's good. Where do you meet? What's the the Venn diagram?
Occasionally, we. You know what? There's a little match in bizarrely in the Bee Gees. I suddenly thought that.
I'm planning to do a Bee Gees song. I'm doing How Deep Is Your Love on my upcoming tour.
Oh, I love that song.
That wasn't a shameless excuse to mention my tour.
We are going to talk about it.
For the first time.
Because, we're talking singing, and the idea that your wife sings while your children play is, please, can I come around for breakfast just
come,
once?
Come. Well, we do currently there's a lot of Oasis going on because of the...
Yeah. Are you going?
8 hours of my life that I will never get back. I don't have any tickets. Do you have a hookup?
No, but I don't know anybody that I know who got tickets.
Nobody. I don't know who these people are. I know one guy, and frustratingly, he lives in Japan, so I don't know how he's going to have to travel
is
from
he your
Japan.
Best friend?
No, sadly not. And he's only got one ticket.
Oh, yeah.
So that's not good.
No, so. I don't know anybody that actually got a ticket. But if they go, I have to say I have seen them.
Right.
Did you ever see them live?
Not really in my bag. Okay. I mean, I like.
Mine? Musical theatre all the way.
Yeah.
I went to see Oasis in Glasgow because I was working in Glasgow and a friend said, come on, we're going to see. I went, I like them and they're nice enough and I've met them, but went there and my friend was going, go. I was just going, oh God, this is good.
Right. Why? What? The sheer oomph of the thing.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. It was, do you know what? It was rock and roll.
Yeah, there's quite a strong masculine energy there, isn't
and
there?
And it's also, it's very, the, powerful the energy, actually, the energy. Yeah. The energy on stage, as it is with you, because I've been to see you do your live show. So this is, we're going Sing Along a Gareth 3.
We are, yeah.
But I mean, we know more about you this Oasis. Time.
Yes, I'm doing my life in song. So I'm going from the day that I was born, which was... Number one was a re-release of Space Oddity by David Bowie. I'm going all the way through, but through songs that you know and you like to sing. So we're doing the song that was on when I was in the sandwich shop in Bournemouth in 1993.
What's that one? Oh, that 1993? Is,
yeah.
Okay. 93, 94.
Okay.
I'm okay. Prime, big breakfast.
Has we a really bands. Good sort of a cappella beginning. Ba 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 ba.
Oh, okay, nice. All right, okay, nice.
Yeah, okay, that would be nice. Yeah. That's for listeners at home. That is "Kiss from a Rose" by Seal. And we've just got lots of fun songs. We've got big lots of musical theatre.
Yes, so that's what I was waiting for.
The musicals. We're doing a Les Mis medley, which I'm just going to be all the parts.
Basically. Will you do the? Because we had Alfie Bow on here, and we did.
He can sing. He's got some tonsils.
We did. We did. Valjean. At last, we see each other plain.
Oh, nice.
Monsieur Le Maire, you'll come wear a different chain.
I don't know if I can do
before
that.
Before you say another word, I've got...
I know that, yeah. There, out in the darkness, a fugitive running, fallen from grace.
So you do that? Oh,
I'm going to do
perfect.
I'm going to schmacked that to
fabulous.
High heaven.
And what other musical theatre were?
We're doing a bit from The Greatest Showman.
Do you know what? Didn't love the film. Love the soundtrack.
The soundtrack's great, isn't it?
Love that soundtrack.
It's amped up.
Are you doing a million?
The one about dreams. Yes, yeah. A million dreams. And there's something else. We're also doing a medley of divas. So all the way from Dusty Springfield through to Lizzo and Beyonce and kind of all points in between, with Madonna. And
so now the words are up.
The words are up.
The words are there, so we can all sing.
Glorious Technicolor. Yes, and photos also from my life and our lives and, you know, historical moments that happened at the same time. And gags are plenty. Yeah, but you can see the words. And this time I'm going to do a QR code. So you can also have it on your phone if you want
to. Oh, that's a really good idea.
Well, sometimes you go into a venue and there's one seat that's restricted view, or they can't see the top of the word. So I thought, I know how to solve that. So we're going, there's no excuse. Everyone can sing along. You don't have to.
That's the thing.
It's not obligatory, but most people do.
I said to my husband, right, we've got to go and see Gareth because I get to sing along. And the girls are, you know, my girls, I don't know whether they get their love from musical theatre from. No idea.
It's so hard to figure that out.
And David, he wanted me to know, to ask you, do you do any punk and reggae?
Punk and reggae is not on the list. What would I do? Punk.
Oh, no, you could do Buzzcocks. Ever fall in love with
someone, ever fallen in love with someone, ever fallen
in love with someone you should have fallen in love with.
From the Fine Young Cannibals version. Very fine.
They're not as young as they once were.
The Fine Cannibals.
Yes. It's such a lovely idea. But you've done over the years is, and that's why you're so right for this podcast, because you have spread joy. I mean, I suppose, you know, everyone knows the choir and all the stuff that you've done on telly, but the Military Wives Choir seemed to...
It chimed.
It really did.
It did. Well, it was one of those happenstance moments where, I suppose I think like all good people working in the media, reading, you know, all the newspapers and trying to keep abreast of what was going on. So I had been aware of that moment where we were not happy as a nation about what was happening in Afghanistan and in Iraq, and yet the bodies were starting to come back, and it was it was absolutely tragic, awful moment. And this letter came through the door, and so it immediately stood out from everything else because I was sort of aware of what was going on in popular thought, and so it was a kind of immediate yes. And then we had to ask the Ministry of Defence. Now that is something that does not bring any joy into one's life.
Oh, really?
Just dealing with, you know, it's so you can imagine.
Can I know lots of bureaucracy. Why did you have to ask?
Because we wanted to go to a military base and and get permission to film on the filming on a military base. You can't film that. Don't film that direction.
Yeah,
you know, for good reasons.
Yeah,
but like makes filming really, really complicated. Anyway, finally, one day the permission came through and we went off to Devon. And I took my wife, and then I just had the one daughter who was about 6 months old, and we moved down to Devon. And it was, I really honestly, from the first day, I just thought, oh, this is working. And the narrative of the choir had always been, you know, you can, some TV producers have written down, you know, executive had gone, Gareth arrives on the base, struggles to get women to join. You know, everyone's terrible at first. You could sort of see how they were thinking. And we arrived and everyone wanted to do it and everyone was good and they sounded really nice. And so we sort of had to rewrite the rule book, which was lovely for me because I'd done a couple of projects like that.
Yeah.
And suddenly it was about scale. It was like, right, well, how far can we take this? And we took it all the way to performing in front of Her Majesty the Queen, yes. And which we did several times. It was amazing. And we know that, you know, I know that she watched us and admired it. And
you've met the Queen.
Yeah, she gave me an award for in her, that was the Diamond Jubilee year, which was 2012, for my work with the Military Wives. Like a personal award, a personal gift from the Queen. Yeah, I got this, the most extraordinary, it's like a, it's called a chalice, and it's made out of crystal. It's absolutely extraordinary, this thing. It's about 2 feet high, and it says E2R on it. It's completely like,
I've got goosebumps.
I shouldn't tell you because I'll get robbed.
No, how
it's
lovely.
It's a beautiful thing. So me and, is it Harvey Goldsmith behind Live Aid? Harvey Goldsmith and I both got this award, and it was a person in the gift of the Queen. So whereas the honours are you might be nominated by, you know, your friend, and then that gets sort of approved at government level, and then the sovereign will sign it. But they haven't necessarily approved. They haven't come up with the idea, whereas this was actually from...
What a lovely thing!
I know, I was unbelievable. I mean, the story is slightly sad because I got this call from the Royal Academy of Music where I'd studied, and they said, oh, there's an event on the 12th of May. Do come along. Oh, I'd love to. So I put it in my diary. Then I heard nothing, absolutely nothing. And about a day before, I was filming in Manchester, and I looked in my diary and thought, oh, I'm supposed to be at that Royal Academy thing in London. I don't think I can make it. So I called up Carol from the Academy and said, oh, I'm sorry, I can't come. It's going to be a bit awkward to get to London. She said, I really think you need to be there. I said, oh, why is that? You're going to be getting something. Okay, so I didn't invite my mum, I didn't invite my dad, I didn't invite my... And what had happened was that the information had gone to our old address. And so I didn't find out...
You might have missed your chalice.
I could have missed the chalice entirely. I could have just not turned up, which would have been absolutely disastrous. But anyway, I arrived to discover literally the Knights of the Realm. Who was that? They had like 12 dames. That Judi Dench was there. Bono was there. Derek Jacobi was there.
Is Bono a dame?
Well, no, that was a separate thought.
Okay.
Should be. Who else was there? I mean, it was really like everyone except the Pope was there. And then
for
this celebration of the Queen and the celebration of the arts. And it was at the Royal Academy of Arts. And I arrived there and suddenly I got this award from Her Majesty the Queen. It was unbelievable. It's huge, this thing, quite heavy. And
hand it to you?
Well, no, I walked up and I said, thank you so much, Your Majesty, and did a sort of clumsy bow. And then she said, I think we'll just leave it there on the pedestal. I said, yeah, I'll collect it later in a taxi. And we had a little laugh about that. And that was, and then I stood in a little circle with me, Her Majesty the Queen, Bono and Derek Jacobi.
There's a party I'd like to go to.
It was bonkers. Anyway, there we are. That was
how wonderful.
It was amazing, yeah. Was amazing.
So all of that time, you know, the young lad, I mean, you did three different courses after school, didn't you? You went to three different universities.
Yeah, I did did a drama degree. And then I decided actually probably I wanted to do music. Mm-hmm. So then I started studying myself, which was much better because I was paying for the lessons out of my own money and I was kind of really interested in it. In a way that when you're at school, it's sometimes a bit of a chore. This was suddenly really volitional. And then what did I do? Did I do three courses?
Didn't you go to...
I went to the Royal Academy.
Royal Academy?
Yeah, then I went to the Royal Academy. No, I did two.
Two, right.
I lost track. Yes, you're right, two. And then I studied singing at the Royal Academy. What was the question?
Was it Mary Hammond?
It wasn't. No, that's the music theatre side. I was on the Versorius classical side, and we did lots of... we used to... There's a building to the left, if you look at the Royal Academy, called York Gate, which is where all the music theatre types hung out and sang. And we used to have German Lieder class, which is very serious, with a man called Ian Partridge. We used to have that on a Thursday morning. And somebody would be singing a song about, you know, like somebody dying in a brook or something really kind of, you know, Victorian and romantic. And there'd be the theatre singers next door going, nya, 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 like that.
Fabulous.
It was a wonderful clash of cultures. I was actually there at the same time as Ian H. from Steps.
Yes, you always say that. I love that.
It's my claim to fame is that me and... there are other claims to fame, but me and H did drama together.
Have you ever studied... Have you ever performed a step song in your sing-along?
No, but that's a good idea.
You've got to.
Yes.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Tragedy.
No, you're hooting, scooting, baby, driving in a crazy...
I bow to your superior knowledge. No, I can only think of S Club songs now. Is that a heresy?
Reach for
And don't stop, never give up.
I like S Club.
That's
as well.
A good one.
I love all the variety of stuff that you cover as well. And you're passionate about spreading the joy of music. And it's, when we've chatted before, that's the thing that a lot of people, I find it really sad. I'm very lucky I mean, I couldn't read music. I went to my grade one piano exam and I did it. And they went, that's great. Can you do some sight reading? I went, no, I can't read it. They said, what? I said, I can't read it. I said, will you play it and I'll copy you? Right. So they played it and I copied. And they said, we can't pass you. But well done. But I'm very lucky because I was trained as a singer and I've done West End shows and things. And I love singing. And when I talk about singing to people, they always look at me and say, oh, I can't sing.
So, that's annoying.
Anyone can sing. And also, it's because somebody has said to them, can't sing.
It's not annoying to me that they say that. It's annoying that somebody has made them feel like that at some point.
And brings.
It does. It endorphins and all
that. But everybody sings at some stage, don't they? Even if they say, they'll sing on their own in the shower or something.
But some toddlers are not great at singing. But at that point, you have the potential to learn. You know, when you have a class of 30 kids, there's going to be one or two that can't sing. But it is possible to get everyone to some level of singing. But don't tell that
toddler that they can't sing. No, that's the thing.
No, that's definitely not good. But if you don't do it at that age, then you've kind of, you know, the brain doesn't make those easy connections. I think you need to get in young. You need to be singing "Twinkle Twinkle Little Star" every single night. Like I do.
Still?
Yeah, I sing every night to my youngest, who's nearly six.
Twinkle, twinkle.
Yes, because it's so good. That and Happy Birthday. It's so good for intervals. Do, 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 do. It's just very good for kind of getting the ear in, I think.
Okay, can we sing Twinkle, Twinkle now then, please, together?
Are you happy with the key?
Yeah.
Twinkle.
I can't actually sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star with you. That's really weird. Musical theatre, fine. But Twinkle, Twinkle, because it's suddenly, when you said, they break it down. Yeah.
Twinkle, twinkle, little.
I'm not going to do it now. I'm embarrassed.
I can't believe that I've.
That's really weird. You know.
That's the opposite.
A female did. Happy.
There you go. Well, you're fine. Yeah. Aren't you? Yeah, there's no problem with your singing voice.
The thing about singing is. I mean, through the shows that you've done, everybody sort of thought, I could do it.
I think a lot of people.
Then there's so many choirs you've done is created the rock choirs, created all the different choirs that have sprung up. And in lockdown, you did the choir as well. Yeah. And that was bringing everybody together. And that's the thing I'm passionate about is a lot of people are on their own and choirs bring them together.
Oh, it's clinically proven to give you a better feeling of community and, you know, like serotonin and all of those things that make you feel nice. I can't think of any other activity because we can't all get out and play football, you know, but most people can hobble along to a choir. You know, my friend who's just lost her mother, you know, one of the great joys of the last year of her life where she was very ill with dementia, she was still able to go and join a choir for people with dementia, and that's amazing because there are so many other activities that were taken away that are taken away from people, but music is kind of the last thing.
Why is it that music?
It's such a deep brain activity. I feel like, I mean, I'm not a scientist, but it's so absorbing. It uses so many parts of the brain, motor skills and. It's using all the deep stuff as well because you're having to coordinate your breath and breath is so basic to life. And, you know, your emotions are just sort of hardwired into those songs. So I think it just goes beyond language. It goes beyond the conscious mind. I think it's deep singing. And when you've learned a song when you're 8 years old, you never forget it, do you? I can still sing all those hymns and things from.
But isn't that incredible? My younger daughter knows songs that I grew up with because they play them on the radio, and she knows every single word. And she looks at me, how do I know every single word? I said, you will, and then you'll start not remembering every single word, but you will always remember every single word of the ones that you're singing now.
Yeah.
When you're 80.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing, that, isn't it? And it's. It's sort of sad when you lose that ability, isn't it, to take on the new material because obviously I have to learn loads of stuff. I do think it's a very good thing about being a musician, you know, at whatever level, of keeping the brain going.
Oh, good. We've got to keep our brains.
It's so important, isn't it? I mean, I'm going to be 50 this year and I feel like...
Happy birthday to you. That's a good song to sing. You just told me, yeah.
I love that song. Yeah, and I think I still want to learn new instruments and keep.
So, what do you play? What instruments do you play?
Well, I obviously play. Piano was my first instrument.
And the conducting. Yeah.
Well, yes, that's a kind of an instrument, but it's not my specialism. I played piano. I sing. I play guitar. I play bass. I really like bass. Is kind of my favorite thing to play. It's really fun because you're sort of in charge of your. Promoting the rhythm, you're locked in with the drummer. I have a great drummer, Lauren Costi, on stage with me, and she's just great fun. And that feeling of being locked in together is really it's hard to describe. Just a great teamwork.
Lovely.
And when you get something right and you do a hit together, you know, just get everything lined up and it just kind of happens. That's very satisfying. So I love playing bass. I play electric, play acoustic, but I've watched my kids play string instruments, and I'm toying with taking up viola.
Oh, no wind instruments.
I played recorder at school, but I wasn't really into it. And then I found the spit quite off-putting.
Doesn't go with the image. The
it's just a bit
ironing,
gross,
the...
isn't it?
But what about saxophone? Because I can
There's
see
spit
you.
Involved
I know, but I love a saxophone. I wanted to learn the saxophone, and my mother said. You can't, you've been doing piano for 10 years, you still can't read music. And I said, I know, but I love drums and I love saxophone.
Probably have helped, because then you're reading a single line, it's probably easier in some ways.
You don't have to do two hands.
Piano is really difficult, like reading the
I like
all
to play
the
piano, just don't want to read it.
No.
But saxophone would be good.
Saxophone.
I love the sound of the saxophone.
It's great. The piece that I always wanted to play on the sax was the, do you know the film Romancing the Stone?
Yes.
There's a great
Michael
bit
Douglas.
I forget who wrote the piece, but it's a really it's really iconic 80s thing. As Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner get onto the boat and it goes down, it's on like Broadway, I think, and it just goes off into the distance. Really, really long shot.
And is it on a sax?
It's a saxophone piece.
Okay. Well, and you have to learn the saxophone, do that, and sing along a Gareth Four.
It's not really a sing-along piece, but...
No, but you can,
people would enjoy it.
But you walk you get pushed on a boat doing that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely the budget. You've just doubled the budget.
But also, you should do an 80s one, because everyone loves 80s movies.
I've got quite a few 80s in there.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of 80s. I'm looking forward to Like a Prayer this time, because we have a local choir. We have a music theatre choir in every venue.
That's so lovely.
They're a lot of fun. And we're doing Life is a Mystery, which is good. I'm not singing.
No.
I'm looking forward to that. That's
singing?
Not singing that one.
Oh, okay. But you sing.
Yeah,
you
so
conduct.
I sing. I mean, there's not masses of conducting because it's the audience just looking at the lyrics and singing along. And I do a bit, a bit of organising. But mostly I'm playing. I've got two singers with me. One of whom was in the Swingles, which is an a cappella group. She was in that for 10 years. Very good at harmony. She's an incredible performer. And I've also got Laurel, who's also an incredible performer, and she's on stage singing, playing the guitar, playing the bass, and we kind of swap with each other, and it's great. It's really fun.
How do people get tickets, though, please? Do they go and find you?
GarethMalone.com.
Of course.
Of course.
Oh, of course.
All
of
your
course.
Tickets needs. Yeah, I'm everywhere except for Scotland this time, but before you write
time.
In, we were in Scotland last year, we'll be there next year.
So will that be Sing Along at Gareth 4?
Yeah. I don't know what I'll do that. Let me just get through this one.
No, first. Just do 80 movies. Do movies.
I've been thinking about this, like a themed Gareth Malone, like sing along a Gareth the movie, sing along a Gareth music theatre. Do you think that's a good idea?
Yeah, musical theatre. Yes, yes. Yeah.
Well, there's a healthy dollop of music theatre this
time.
But I'm also doing Wonderwall. Just for the.
I love that.
Just
but I love, no,
mostly
actually,
for my wife, because she couldn't get tickets. It's the only
rub
way.
It in.
It's the closest she's going to get.
But it's the cross section. That's why it works. That's why it's great. Now, please, can we end with a warm up? This with on Radio 2.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the amount of people that day.
They did.
No, that day came up to me and did it to me.
Bob's got head like a ping pong ball.
They came up to me and they said, what have you and Gareth done to me? I haven't stopped singing it all the time, so we have to do it.
Actually, I got a lot of people texting me. And when you've been on screen as much as you or I have, people stop, don't they? They don't go, oh, I saw you on television.
They have a natter, yeah.
Yeah, but you and they might, but that one really that chimed.
Bob's got a head like a ping pong. That's what the words, isn't it?
It's the William Tell overture. Bum, 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 bum.
So it's Bob. So, Bob's, okay, Bob's listening
like
and watching.
Ball.
But it's Bob's got a head like a ping pong ball. What I would like Bob's is also Joe. Like Joe, would you like to come in and join us, please? Joe, come on. Joe works on this show.
Never seen anything so reluctant.
Joe is
oh, here he comes.
Mr. Radio, Mr. Podcast. Oh, both of them. Come on, both of you. Come on. Come on. Right.
Guy on the street. In you come.
You should see that they're looking at us, aren't they? Thinking, what are they making us do? So Joe is a legend.
I'm trying to think of, let me think of another one.
Everyone. Well, we'll do two. They don't know that we're planning this because they can't hear it. Right, we're going to do two. Come on. Come and sit down.
Welcome to the podcast. Yeah?
Welcome. You get referenced all the time. So come on. You're going to sit next to Gareth.
Oh, yeah, nuzzle in.
Right.
Next to the pro. Just to prove.
Come on. Come on. Right. This is going Bob's on got, YouTube on Bob. The podcast. So we've got Joe Hadder, who is a living legend in radio, isn't he? I mean, you.
Yes.
As working with him must be quite something. So he is a living legend. He's worked across all radio. Everyone in the industry knows him. Everyone out of the industry knows him. He has his own podcast about books. He's now going to say, on his own, do Bob's Got a Head Like a Ping Pong Ball, and you've got something else lined up as a surprise.
He hasn't shaved either.
No. Okay, so are we all going to do Bob?
About 12 years.
And then you'll teach us another one.
Yes, I'm trying to think. Mine's gone blank. It'll come to me. Yes,
we do Bob. Bob. So just talk us through it.
So it's Bob's Got a Head Like a Ping Pong Ball. Bob's Got a Head Like a Ping Pong Ball. Well, should we warm up? So should we say, let's say, pa 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 pa.
Pa 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 pa.
Ba 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 ba.
Ba 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 ba.
Da 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 da. Say buddiga,
buddiga,
buddiga, buddiga, buddiga, buddiga, buddiga,
buddiga, buddiga, buddiga.
And I say buddiga, 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 buddiga. So just unvoiced.
Buddiga, 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 buddiga,
buddiga, buddiga,
buddiga,
buddiga, buddiga,
buddiga. Expert. There we are. That's just to warm up the.
Thank you.
Explosives and the fricatives.
Lovely.
Get the mouth really working. Mm.
Blushing, isn't he?
Should we have a little shake of the jaw?
Okay. Hope you're doing this at home.
I like that one that they do on the Queen's Speech. Do you remember that film?
Yes.
And he goes, it's really, really good for this. We're getting rid of this TMJ.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now we should be nice and ready to go. Bob's got a bed. No, Bob's got a head like a ping pong ball.
Bob's got a head like a ping pong ball.
Bob's got a head like a ping pong ball. Like a ping, like a ping pong ball. Like a ping pong, ping pong, ping pong, ping pong, ping pong, ping pong, ping pong ball. Like a ping pong, ping pong, ping pong, ping pong, ping pong, ping pong ball. Bob's got a head like a ping pong ball. Bob's got a head like a ping pong ball. Bob's got a head like a ping pong ball. Like a ping, like a ping pong ball.
Yay!
I mean, it's my theme tune now.
Oh, Gareth, you are good for the soul. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.